This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Ray Hederman, the Assistant Director of the Center for Data Analysis at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. We've asked him to offer his analysis of the latest job numbers coming out of the Labor Department on Friday, showing the overall unemployment rate going up to 9.6%, a loss of jobs for the month, but a growth in the total jobs created in the private sector. So should we see this as a glass half empty or a glass half full? And Ray, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Greg.
Well, the president taking very little time to come out today and saying that the numbers aren't as good as obviously anyone would like to see, but they show, especially with the private sector job growth, that we are heading in the right direction. How optimistic or pessimistic should we be here?
Well, I think we're headed in the right direction. It's just going to take us a very, very, very long time to arrive at the place where we want to be. What we're seeing today is a jobs report that indicates that recovering the labor market is going to be long and slow, a journey of very a large number of short steps instead of some of the leaps that we're accustomed to. The headline number showing jobs losses is a little deceiving because most of those job losses were jobs associated with the temporary census hiring. Private sector employment, you know, growing again, but unfortunately, you know, we're not hitting that triple digit numbers that we really need to see to reduce the unemployment rate and really put Americans back to work.
In terms of the private sector jobs, do we know which ones are primarily responsible for the uptick?
Yeah, absolutely. Healthcare industry continues its strong growth. The healthcare sector grew about twice as fast as any other industry. Interesting news is that construction increased. They're hiring for one of the few times that's happened since the housing market fell off. And manufacturing, the number of jobs in manufacturing dropped for the first time this year. One of the important key indicators that we've been looking at is what happens to temporary employees. A lot of time businesses will hire temporary workers before they add to their permanent labor staff. And last month in July, we were very concerned because the number of temporary hiring declined, and that really raised fears of the double dip. I'm glad to report that this month we've seen an increase in temporary employees, which is very reassuring to those of us who really want to see the labor market continue to grow. The other big positive sign is the fact that the number of weekly hours has increased back up to 33.5 hours, which is one of the highest numbers since 2008.
And we're talking with Ray Hederman of the Heritage Foundation. And Ray, does that suggest that we're seeing signs that all the worries we saw related to the housing numbers and some other indicators last week about the economy perhaps coming into a stalling phase might be a little bit overblown?
We may not be heading for a double dip, but, you know, a stall, a very slow progression is probably a more accurate way to describe what's going on. We're not going to see, you know, labor force numbers of growth of, you know, 250,000, 300,000 that we really saw from some previous recoveries. Instead, it looks like the new normal is going to be, you know, 75,000 here, maybe 125,000, maybe 50,000. You know, very slow, one step at a time growth forward, and that's not enough to bring down the unemployment rate.
Ray, there's also what's known as, at least by some people, the real unemployment rate, because the official one doesn't factor in folks who have stopped looking for jobs or folks who would like full-time jobs while taking part-time jobs. You mentioned temporary hires and things like that are looking a little bit more optimistic, but overall, are folks getting more pessimistic? How are those numbers looking?
Well, you know, I think last month was a very pessimistic month. We saw a lot of people exiting the labor force. This reversed itself in August. We had about a job, about a half a million more workers entered the labor force, and about two-thirds of those were adult males. And so it's good to kind of see adult men returning, trying to find jobs. So that's kind of an optimistic point that, you know, workers are sitting there saying, hey, I think there's better opportunities than there were. We had a very strong spring. That really raised a lot of false expectations. And we've seen those expectations kind of wilt in the summer heat, if you will. And so we're hoping that these numbers remain constant, that more workers continue to enter back into the labor force. And, you know, that might bump the unemployment rate up a little bit, but we want to have people in the labor force looking for jobs and hopefully finding them.
You mentioned that it's going to be a very slow process to get back to anywhere close to where we were just a couple of years ago as it relates to the job market. Is there anything that can be done to accelerate that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, what you're seeing right now is that businesses are very worried because what they're facing right now are higher taxes, and they're facing a great deal of regulatory burden, you know, with the health care bill, you know, the Environmental Protection Agency is talking about trying to regulate as well, and that really causes kind of an hiring freeze. So what business wants to see is some signals that America is open for new business opportunities. Congress needs to act quickly on extending the tax relief from 2001 to 2003. Congress has got to get out of this mode of raising taxes on businesses to pay for new spending programs. I mean, let's don't forget, also in the month of August, you know, Congress raised taxes by $11 billion on multi-corporate businesses in response to be able to pay for new spending. And that's the type of stuff that is not going to lead to recovery. You know, this idea that we can spend our way out of the recession instead of relying on private enterprise to boost economic growth.
President Obama is saying that he'll unveil next week another approach to try and spur job creation. What's your expectation there? Do you think you'll see at least some of the elements you just talked about, or will there be something else?
Well, I'm hopeful because, you know, his outgoing CEA director, Council of Economic Advisors, Christy Romer, called for, you know, some tax cuts. So I'm hoping that President Obama will sit there and say, how can we really get this thing moving? Let's go for broad-based, you know, pro-growth tax cuts, you know, extend the 2001-2003 tax relief. My worries is that this is going to be kind of, you know, some of the old policies that are just kind of rehashed. You know, the idea is that we're going to extend the research and development tax credit, which really won't do much. I'm hoping that the president sits there and calls for some bold action, you know, really taking aim at our corporate tax rate, which is the second highest in the world. These are the type of elements, you know, some real new, fresh, bold thinking, bold new ideas that we need to give businesses confidence, give them certainty that times are going to get better.
You mentioned the importance, in your opinion, of extending the Bush tax cuts from 2001-2003. The president is on the record for saying he wants to preserve all of them, except, of course, for those making north of $250,000. If those aren't extended, how big of an impact is that on the economy?
Well, you're going to see a major impact. It's going to slow it's going to slow the recovery by months, because what you're doing is you're raising taxes on small businesses, which are employing a lot of workers, and you're also raising taxes on capital. For example, the tax rate on dividends is going to go from 15% to 40%. That means it's going to be harder for businesses to find investors to be able to sit there and expand their business opportunities. You know, our estimations could be that employment growth could slow by a couple of 100,000 jobs by letting these tax cuts expire. And so it's important that we act quickly to make this tax relief permanent. That way we can get the most bang for our buck. That way businesses will be able to find the capital they need to be able to hire and expand their opportunities.
Well, looks like Congress has plenty to debate when the members return next week. Ray, thank you so much for your time today. Have a great Labor Day weekend.
You too, Greg. Thank you.
Ray Hederman is Assistant Director of the Center for Data Analysis at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.